Today we'll be taking the Lord's Supper, known as the observance of the Lord's Supper. So our message today is taken from Matthew chapter 26. Our focus is on Jesus' death. Can't preach enough about the gospel because it's all about Him and what He did for us. So as we read the scriptures, kind of think about the events that's taken place and what's heavy upon Christ's mind. And when it became known to the disciples, they became very distraught. They were very, I guess, surprised in many ways, but Jesus been telling them all along that He was going to the cross. And then special people who really knew what to do when Jesus was giving information about Him going to the cross. And we'll read about Mary here that was always at the feet of Jesus, where we need to be each day in our lives at the feet of Jesus. So follow along with me, Matthew chapter 26, beginning with verse 1. When Jesus had finished all of these words, He said to His disciples, "You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man is to be handed over for crucifixion." Then the chief priests and the elders of the people were gathered together in the court of the high priest named Caiaphas, and they plotted together to seize Jesus by killing Him. But they were saying, "Not during the festival, otherwise a riot might occur among the people." Now when Jesus was in Bethlehem, or Bethany, at the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to Him with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume, and she poured it on His head as He reclined at the table. But the disciples were indignant when they saw this and said, "Why this waste? For this perfume might have been sold for a high price and the money given to the poor." But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you bother the woman? For she has done a good deed to me. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. For when when she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her." And of course we know that was Mary. Now I want you to think this morning, Jesus kind of puts this in perspective for each one of us this morning. Because Jesus had been telling the disciples, "I'm going to the cross. I'm dying for the sins of the world." And He was saying, including you, disciples. And I was thinking about the uncertainty of things, uncertainty of our lives, you know, we're here today, maybe not tomorrow, or however God chooses in His plan. But what would you do if you knew what was going to happen to you tomorrow? What would you do if you knew what was going to happen to you tomorrow? If someone, some way, it was possible for you to look into the future, what would you do? You'd probably be frightened, wouldn't you? It'd probably scare you to death almost. Would seeing into the future change your behavior today? Would it make you live more urgency? But the fact is, none of us knows what tomorrow will bring. or what it holds. And most of us know that people who have been given a timeline on their life, all of us have known people of that nature. And some doctor somewhere has told them how much time they have left to live. There's no doctor, though. I was thinking about it. There's no doctor in the world that can tell a person how long they're going to live, because no doctor in the world holds the power of life and death. There's no person in the world that knows the future. But Jesus does. He knows, doesn't he? He knows. And as God said, you know, he created all things in time. He holds time in his hands. He holds the end from the, he knows the end to beginning. And that's why in the Bible, in the scriptures, in Revelation, it says, I'm Alpha and I'm Omega. I'm the beginning and I am the end. And because Jesus is the only one who knows our future, he warns us to be prepared. And not only are we to be prepared, we are to be ready at any time in our lives. See, he warns us to urgently prepare for our unknown future. He warns us to prepare for the darkness before the night falls. Because in John chapter 4, he says, night is coming where no one can work. He's saying, just be prepared. You don't never know. Prepare for the storm while the sea is calm. In our passage this morning, Jesus knows what is in store for him. And that's why he is warning the disciples and those around him. He knows within just a few short hours he would be beaten, bruised, hung on the cross, the old rugged cross that we often sing about. He knows the treacherous task that lies ahead of him. He knows that he must be urgently prepared and warn others about the coming event. In a few short hours of calm, Jesus knows that he must urgently prepare the storm that lies ahead. And that's what he did. And that's what I want to share with you this morning briefly. Let's look at the effects as Jesus prepared to come to the Passover lamb. Now, first of all, the anointing of the cross. This is by Jesus, no one else. He can only do this himself. In verses 1 and 2, as I read, Jesus tells his disciples that he will be crucified in 2 days at the Passover feast. And it was the lamb that was killed at the first Passover when God delivered the people from Egypt. And a perfect lamb had to be selected and killed, and the blood had to be applied to the top of the doorpost. And when the angel of death came by, and when he saw the blood over the doorpost, then death would pass. So every year thereafter, the Jews would celebrate the Passover sacrifice, another spotless lamb. But this year it would be sinless, spotless, perfect Lamb of God who came to take away of the sins of the world. Who was that? It was Jesus. It was Jesus. He would die a volunteer death. That means he gave up his own life. No one took his life. He gave it up himself, even to the death, not able to hold his life down for long. But evil men had their own plan to kill Jesus. And in the end, they thought they had done that. But you can't keep God's son down. Next, we see the arranging of the cross. This was done by men. In verses 3 and 5, we read, perhaps, can you imagine probably 2 to 3 million people present at that time? They had gathered in Jerusalem for the feast, and many were fans of Jesus. They were there because of Jesus, because they had seen him minister. They had heard him preach. They had seen him heal because of his compassion for everyone. And many were from Galilee, where he was very popular there in Galilee. And many of these had lined the streets just a few days before Jesus entered, before his death, to praise him. He rode in to town. So these religious leaders said, let's don't cause an uproar. If we do, it might cause a riot. Let's wait till after the Passover when all these people go home, and then we'll move in on Jesus. But you know what? You can't change the plans of God. He's made them, and he'll stick with them. He's still in full control, even when circumstances seem that they couldn't be any worse. And sometimes we feel that way in our own lives. You know, when things are really bad, we can't change the circumstances. You know, there's a lot of uncertainties in our lives. We can't change them, but we know that God is with us. And see, God was in control of this situation all the way through. And God is arranging everything according to his plan, and indeed, Jesus is right. He's going to be crucified at the Passover in 2 days. Now, we get to verses 6 and 7. And now we're going to see an anointing for the cross. And this is by Mary, the one that the Bible says sits at the feet of Jesus. And there's nothing better than sitting at the feet of Jesus. So many are busy doing other things, busy work, busy doing this, doing that, when we need to be sitting at the feet of Jesus. In verse 6 and 7, this happened at Bethany, a retreat spot where Jesus sometimes went to rest and get away from it all. How many of you like to get away from it all? And some of them are doing that today, right? A lot of people are getting away and resting and doing things. But Jesus, you know, was always crowded. People always around Jesus. Popular people. People want to crowd them in. Want to get inside. Want to get know the ins and outs. That charisma. Jesus had that. And it seems that Christ spent his days that final week in Jerusalem and his nights in Bethany. He'd go in Jerusalem in the day, Bethany at night, where he spent his nights. And Simon, likely a leper that Jesus had healed, he is putting on this dinner. He was celebrating. You know, you'd be celebrating too. You know, you've been healed from a dreadful disease. You know, people celebrate. And people do, you know, cancer survivors and so forth. They celebrate because they survived it. You know, Simon, he survived his leprosy, because Jesus healed him. And so Mary was a deep spiritual woman, because she sat at the feet of Jesus. Always find her there at Jesus' feet when we hear about her. Every time you read anything about this Mary, she was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now, it was custom in those days to anoint special guests just a few drops of an ointment or perfume on their head and on their feet. It was an act of courtness kindness to do such an act. And here was precious ointment. And when you look in the Gospel of John, it indicates it was worth a full year's wage. Now, that's a lot. You think of four. You take your whole year's wage and you spend it on some kind of a special perfume or ointment. And that's what she did. And she doesn't use just a few drops, but pours the entire content upon Jesus. Great Christians have appeared in ages, and they have one thing in common. They live their lives with reckless abandon. I want you to think about that a minute, because I'm going to kind of explain what I'm talking about when it comes to expressing their love for Jesus. And Mary was one of those. They sacrificed to such a degree that they are sometimes criticized for what they do. And you see, Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, and she was being criticized for doing that. And Jesus said what? Leave her alone. Don't bother her. She's doing something good. She knows what's going to be taking place. And she has the mind of Christ. She has suited up in the spiritual mind of Christ. So don't bother her. All you other people need to get on board. That's what Jesus is saying. You need to get on board what's going to take place. He's probably saying you're not listening. You haven't been here. You're not listening. You haven't heard a thing that I've said. You know, I'm thinking about, you see some face painter going overboard at a football game and say, that's great. They're a fan. But you see someone get excited about Jesus and say, good night. They're a fanatic. Have you ever heard that before? Yeah. And it's like the extreme big game hunters. Any of you a big game hunter? Small game hunter? Well, they approach their hobby with a reckless abandon, as I was saying a while ago. They spare no expense. I have read where people will spend $50,000 to $100,000 to hunt big game. Now you think about that. Think what a person could do with that in a church or in an organization, that kind of money for witnessing. You have to have the right gun, clothes, truck, camper, big game tags. You can't go out there without a scent to genuine the animal that you're hunting. No money, no matter, they've got to get that big game. They got to get started about 4 o'clock in the morning. But no matter, they've got to get that big game, right? They hike for miles, refrain from speaking, eat grub and worms, but it's all for the such of a great cause, right? Rain, snow, freezing, hot temperatures, all kind of bad weather, all this pale comparison to the prize that they won by the end of the day. You think about it. Now, don't think I'm criticizing. I'm not. I'm just trying to make a point right here about reckless abandon. Anyone chooses this odd way to unwind, that's their thing. I'm saying would to be to God, we could get excited about serving Him, not in drudgery, out of duty, but the same reckless abandon. Well, not only was there a loving act here, but a loving approval. Jesus approved Mary's act. In verses 10 and 13, Jesus says that anything done for Him is not a waste. Now, we ought to write that down in our mind. Anything, education is not a waste, right? Not at all. Anything that we do for Jesus is not a waste. There's a lot of ways in today's world to waste time and money. But when it comes to giving time, our treasures to God, nothing but a good investment. In verse 12, look there with me. How did Mary have such insight? How did she have such insight? It says, for when she poured the perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Usually such anointing would be done after a death of a person, not before. But Mary knew his body would never see corruption. She knew this because she sat at the feet of Jesus. How could she be so in tune with what was about to happen? Because she spent her time at the feet of Jesus. So, to all of us, to you, to me today, when we think about this scripture and the significance and the magnitude of what was taking place, don't ever be afraid to go overboard for Jesus. I've been called a fanatic before, and I said, good for me, you know, good for you for saying that. It should be a privilege to be called a fanatic for the Lord. What do we do for Jesus? What can we give to God? These are the things of eternal value. So it's a loving approval by the Lord. And then Christina Marshall once said, obedience is all over the gospel. And it is. Obedience is all over the gospel. The flexibility of an obedient heart must be complete from our will of right through our actions. That's the way it has to be for us to be obedient to God. When's the last time that you were at the feet of Jesus getting instruction or just praising him, thanking him for your life, for his work in your life, or just trying to get instruction? Say, Lord, what you want me to do? He loves that kind of attention, and you'll be blessed by it. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name this morning. We thank you for the scripture. We thank you for what it instructs us to do. We see the examples of women, spiritual people like Mary, who knew exactly what was coming, what was ahead for Jesus. And she wanted to spend that precious time worshiping, adoring that moment, that precious moment. And Jesus did not let anyone take it away or rob her from that blessing. Lord, if we want to be blessed, we must spend time with you. And Lord, I pray this morning that each and every one of us will commit, whether we make it public or whether we sit in our pews, that we'll make a commitment to you. We're going to spend more time with you. We're going to sit at your feet. We're going to know the ins and outs about you, your compassion, your love that you demonstrate in our life each day for allowing us to breathe the air that you provide, to eat, to go, to do things, to witness. Lord, we need to be busy, especially in this day and time, because the days are uncertain for all of us. But Lord, eternity is sure. It's absolute for those who believe in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for the salvation that you provided for us over 2,000 years ago. May we take advantage of that today. If there's anyone here that doesn't know you personally, Lord, they can. And we pray, Lord, they'll come down this aisle this morning and receive your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, if it needs to be a rededication or a renewal of our life afresh, that we might sit at your feet more and more each day, Lord, let that be as well. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're singing Alleluia this morning. Let us stand as we sing.